And this morning, we're going to continue our series that we've been in starting last week called Vision 2020. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the call of God on your life. Today, I'm going to remind you that God has given to each of you here a gift. And God expects you to use that gift for his purposes in the body here at Central Community Church if this is your church home. And I put a reminder out in the grand foyer for you that what that looks like when you don't do your part. What that looks like is we've got this picture of this church, but there's a few puzzle pieces missing. And we can't be who God wants us to be unless you're doing what God has given you to do and purpose you to do in this church. And I encourage you to go and look at that puzzle piece, because it's not just about what's going on here in this church. When you flip it over, there's people's faces there. Because when you don't do what God has called you to do, lives are changed for eternity. And I want you to know I believe that with all of my heart. And I also want you to experience the joy of what it means to be working within the body of Christ. So we're in a series called Vision 2020. And what we're trying to do in this series is we're taking the vision of this church and we're simplifying it. We want everyone in here to be very crystal clear about what the vision is about and where you find yourself in the vision. Our vision here at Central Community Church, our statement is know him, know Christ, and make him known. It's the Great Commission in a simple form, to know Christ and to make him known. Well, what does it mean to know Christ? It means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Well, what does it mean to share him or to make him known? It means to go and share him with your neighbors, share him with your family, share him with whoever God puts in your path. And the way we do that, you remember the Bible tells us, is that we are called to make disciples. I want to remind you of what a disciple is. Remember, a disciple is a learner who seeks to become like the one whom he is following. A disciple simply looks like the person that they're following. And the way we do that here at our church, the Great Commission, is by going, by baptizing, and by teaching. We go into the world, we share with everyone and anyone who God puts in our path. We baptize them, which means we identify with Jesus Christ. Just like I wear this wedding ring and it identifies me with Lori Beckler, when we are baptized, it identifies us with Jesus Christ. And then we teach them. Well, what do we teach them? We teach them of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We teach them the truth of who he is and how they can apply it into their lives. That's what we are called to do. So here's what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to love each other. Remember, we set a goal this year that we were going to reach an attendance in this worship facility, in this sanctuary, not including Easter or Christmas. And we're going to reach a height of 2,500 people. And the way we're going to do that, one of the ways is we're just going to simply love each other. When you don't know somebody, you're going to go and introduce yourself to them. If they're a guest, we're going to pay special attention to them because we want them to know that we've been expecting them. There's going to be no such thing as people's faces that we don't know because we are simply going to love each other. And that's how we're going to do it. Here's the second thing we're going to do. We're going to get involved and we're going to help others get involved. This is how we connect with one another. And if you're not in a life group, I want to tell you, it's not too late to get in a life group. Can you imagine a group of people on some evening or some afternoon during the week sitting around opening God's word, asking God the question, here I am, Lord, how do you desire to use me in your work at Central Community Church? And then finally, we want to invite our friends, neighbors, and others to church. That's how we share the message. And you know, after hearing what goes on in here in our worship, I would think it would be really easy to invite somebody to this church. So our goal, remember, for this next year is 2,500 people in worship. We're going to baptize 250 people. Oh, excuse me, that's 247 now. And we're going to have 1,250 people in our life groups. That's half, that's 50% of the people who call this their church home. And we're going to do it in God's way and by His grace. Amen? All right, so we learned last week that if we want to improve our vision, that we get glasses, right? So how do you improve your hearing? You get hearing aids, right? Some of you in here are wearing hearing aids, and the reason is because you have difficulty hearing. You know, one of the things that I've seen and learned in my life as I watch is that I notice that there is so much noise in the world that a lot of times people will wear AirPods or earphones or headphones to drown out all the noise. How many of you have seen that before? Some of you maybe do it, right? They drown out all of the noise so they can focus on what it is that they're trying to hear. There's a difference between listening and hearing. I tell these young husbands all the time. But I also think it's important for us to remember is that one of Satan's key ways of distracting us is with noise. He creates all kinds of noise in our life, and he's done such a good job of it that we have become uncomfortable with quiet. And what does God say to us in his word? Be still and know that I am God. So in this world that is filled with all of this noise, in this world with all of the distractions, how am I supposed to hear the voice of God? And the answer is this. The Bible tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Stand with me out of respect for God's word. As I read from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and he led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, "Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make 3 shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But even as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy." Now listen to this next part. Listen to him. Listen to him. The disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. Then Jesus came over and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus. As they went back down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anybody what you've seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, I want to learn today again how to hear your voice so that when you call, I can answer. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, one of the things that I think is absolutely amazing is due to our social media. And you know what I mean by that is this. Because of our social media, you can listen to any pastor around the world that you want to. Anytime you want to. And I want you to know that it's not just any pastor. It's the Rick Warrens. It's the Matt Chandlers. It's the David Platts. It's the Max Lucados. It's the Francis Chans. It's the best of the best. At any moment, you can do that. And here's what happens. When you do that, you get spoon-fed the Word of God from the very best teachers and the preachers in all of the world. Isn't that amazing? But I want you to know that as this happens, I also see some things that we need to be very careful about. And here's what I mean by that. I hear all the time that as people listen to these preachers, because they're on the radio and because they see them on TV, they put them up on a pedestal. They put them on this pedestal as if they have some special connection with God. And I want you to know, my prayer for you today is this. I pray that you would say to God and thank Him that God speaks to us through these individuals. But I pray most of all that each one of you here today would pray that God would speak directly to you. I love it that God speaks through His pastors. I love it through God speaks through His Bible teachers. But ladies and gentlemen, I need a word from God. I need God to speak to me, not through someone else, but I need to hear His voice where He calls out, Bob, and He gets my attention. I want to know from God which job I'm supposed to take. I want God to tell me who I'm supposed to marry. I want God to tell me which path I'm supposed to walk. I want God to tell me when I'm hurting because I lost my spouse, just like Jim, that He's never going to leave my side. I want God to tell me, just as Sandy is laying in that hospital bed, that He comes to her and says to her, I will never leave you. I need to hear something direct from God with my name on it. You ever feel that way? You ever say when you listen to somebody else that you think in your mind or in the depths of your soul, you think, man, I wish God could speak to me like that. Or I wonder if God would ever speak to me like that. In the Middle Eastern, shepherds in the Middle East, one of the things that they would do is many times when they would take their sheep to a shepherd fold, the shepherds would come together. In other words, that it wasn't just one or two shepherds. It could be 9 or 10 shepherds. And a lot of times their flocks were sometimes around 100. That's kind of what the average was in those days. And so what they would do is they would find a big sheepfold. And all of the shepherds would bring their sheep and they would put them into the fold. And then one shepherd, the chief shepherd, he would sit at the gate. And literally he would sit like this. There was only one place to go in and out of the gate, and that's how he would switch. The other 9, they would go into the town. So the next morning when they would come back, the chief shepherd would recognize and see these shepherds coming, and then this is what would happen. One of the shepherds would walk into the middle of the sheepfold, and he would call his sheep. And only those 100 sheep that knew his voice would come. And then he would lead them out of the sheepfold with only those 100 sheep that recognized his voice. Isn't that amazing? All the other sheep stayed there, but all of those who recognized his voice came out of the fold. So I want to start with this question this morning. Do you recognize the shepherd's voice? I mean, really, do you recognize Jesus' voice? Or are you at a place where I'm going, well, I think that's him, but I'm not really sure. If that's you, that needs to change. And I want to tell you that the way you recognize his voice is just the way the sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd. It's through relationship. They spend all of that time with him that they recognize his voice. They recognize the way he his pitches in his voice. They recognize his body movements. You know what? When my wife calls me, I never have to look to see who it is. As soon as I hear her voice, I know who it is. And when I speak, she knows my voice. How does that happen? Because we're in relationship. The same thing with all of my grandchildren. They recognize my voice. When I call them in my dreams, they come running. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? The first time. But it's all about having a relationship. Now, let me show you something of what the scriptures teaches us about this. The Bible tells us, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Did you hear that? So one of the things that I want you to understand is this. If you are a part of God's family, there are rights and there are privileges. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in his family. That means you have rights and privileges. Here's something else I want you to know. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. The Bible tells us that God sends out a divine general revelation to all the world so that there is no excuse. All of the world, believers and non-believers, as they live in this world and they see all of the qualities of nature, God is revealing himself to them in that way, in that sense. Here's the next one. But people who aren't spiritual, now here's where we go. Now people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Now don't miss this. Anybody who is not a part of the flock, not a part of the fold, anytime God speaks, it seems as foolishness to them. But here's what we need to hear. But the Bible also reaffirms, ladies and gentlemen, that God is always speaking. Did you hear that? God is always speaking. So now I'm thinking, okay, there's a divine general revelation to the world, and God is always speaking. How come I'm not hearing him? Well, here may be the problem. On the side of my house, I have a dish, and that dish points to a satellite. If the dish is not in the right position, guess what? It doesn't connect with the satellite, and I don't get a picture. So maybe the problem is that you're not tuned in. I remember back in those days when I used to have a transistor radio. Remember those days? Those good old days. And you know what? If I didn't tune in to the right station, I could not hear what was going on. I just got static. Now watch this. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as one of his own, giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we could praise and glorify him. Listen very carefully. The Spirit is the connector. The Holy Spirit is the connection to the Father. If you have Jesus in your life, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you are listening to his voice, the Holy Spirit tells you what the Father is saying. So now let's go to the John 10 passage. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Now look at the first two words. My sheep, That's the relationship. These are my sheep. That's the relationship. Hear my voice. That's the result. If you are a part of God, if you are a part of his flock, you are one of his sheep, the result is you will hear his voice. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. If God loved you enough to send his son Jesus to die for you, don't you think he wants to talk to you? Talking is a form of intimacy. I always tell when we get together in our premarital counseling, here's how I tell the guys. If you want sex, listen to your wife, because talking is intimacy. And the same thing is with us and our Heavenly Father. When we talk to him, when he talks to us and we talk to him, that brings about intimacy. You know why? Because he speaks to our part about his nature and we speak to him about our nature. And that, my friends, is called relationship. One of the things that we know and we remember in Scripture is this. Whenever anybody heard from God, there were three things that always happened. The first one was this: they knew it was God. Isn't that refreshing? They knew it was God. The second thing was they knew what God had said. And the third thing was is they knew what they were to do in response to what God had said. Look at this, what A.W. Tozer says. Most Christians don't hear God's voice because we've already decided we aren't going to do what he says. Ouch. You see, according to this, and according to what the Scripture teaches, is that sin and disobedience block your ears from hearing God's voice. Look at this verse. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken from them. This is what the Bible is teaching us. If you respond to what has been given to you, did you hear that? If you respond to God's word that has already been given to you, the Bible promises you will have more. You will have more understanding. So my advice then is that if I don't feel like I'm hearing God's voice, you know what I do? I get on my knees and I say, Lord, what is it that I need to go back and do that you told me to do that I didn't do? That's how you keep those short accounts, and you always can say, I'm hearing from God's voice on a regular basis. You ought to hear from God all throughout the day. And it's not always going to be, hello, Bob. Sometimes it's a simple, exactly. And you know exactly what God is telling you to do. All right, let's close by going to a very popular man, a man by the name of Moses. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, he called to him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. I want you to understand the love that is in this verse. When God calls you, my friends, he will call you in a way that you will know that it's him, because it'll be unique to you. You see, it wasn't that the bush was burning that was so unusual to Moses. Moses saw that every day. What was unusual was is that the bush was not being consumed. That's what drew his attention. And God loves you so much, he knows how to get your attention so that when he gets your attention, you will know it's from him, because he knows how to get your attention. Look at this verse. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? So here we have this incredible leader, this friend of God. God gives him his task, his calling, and what does Moses do? He starts making up excuses. Now watch this. Then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? I've learned in my life that when God asks me questions, he doesn't ask me questions because he wants to know the answer. He asks me questions because he wants me to know the answer. When God said to Moses, what is that in your hand? Moses said, he's thinking, it's a stick. It's just a stick. But God wanted to teach Moses that whatever we have been given, no matter how large or little it is, when we place it in the Savior's hand, something changes. Remember what God told Moses to do? He said, Moses, he said, I want you to take your staff and I want you to throw it on the ground. And he did. And you remember what happened? The stick came alive and it became a serpent. Then God told Moses to reach down and pick up the serpent by the tail, and it went back to being a stick. Now, here's what I want you to remember about this stick. This stick represented Moses' identity. He was a shepherd. He was not a very popular man. He was of a very lowly vocation. He was a shepherd. But it didn't just represent his identity, it also represented his income. You see, shepherds weren't wealthy. They weren't filthy rich. How much they were worth was based on the amount of sheep that they had. And Moses had a few, but he didn't have a lot. And the third thing that the stick represented was his influence. You see, he would influence the sheep by using his staff as either a staff or as a rod. And so this is what God was saying to Moses. Moses, throw your staff down. And as long as you throw your staff down and you give to me what this staff represents, I will always make it come alive. And I will do more than what you could ever think or imagine. But Moses, every time you reach down and you grab that stick and you take it back as your own, it will die. And I believe that that is what God is saying to us as his people here and around the world. What is that in your hand? What is it that I've given you that you don't think matters much? What goes for Moses goes also for you and I. If you'll throw it down, I will make it alive. You give it to me and I will use it in ways you never thought possible. But as soon as you pick it back and you take it back of your own, it'll be worthless. This past week, I heard of a three-year-old little boy. A three-year-old little boy that didn't have much except a prayer. Watch this.
Bye, God.
Bye.
Bless all the boys and girls.
that prayer has gone viral. And it's impacted people all over the world. One little boy, all he had was a prayer, and he gave it to God, and look what God did. Imagine what God could do if you gave him your total life, your total income, your total influence. Can you imagine how he would change the world? We have a place for you. We have work that needs to be done. And God is calling you to be a part of his body. Go home, pray about it. Ask God to show you and to speak to you directly about what he would have you to do. And remember this, sometimes you have to be obedient first, and then through your step of faith, he will show you what he has for you.